Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning. In just a few moments, we're going to be joined by my guest today, Leslie Lynch. She is the author of Opal's Jubilee. I don't know where I got joy from, but it's in my heart. I'll have introduce Leslie on in just a minute. I just want to catch you guys up on a few things before we talk about Opal's Jubilee. And first of all, over on CatholicMom.com today, I've kind of been on a little sabbatical writing there, and I used to write Tech Talk. And after talking with Lisa Hendy, who's just such a great encourager, supporter of everybody who in the Catholic world, in the Catholic ministry, that wants something to share. She's allowed me, I'm so excited, I can't even believe this. She's allowed me to write different columns. And so my first one today is called Mary, Jesus Expert. And it was kind of inspired by some of the discussion we had here on A Seeking Heart when we were talking about how if we needed an expert on something, like I talked about my 80s background when I wanted to be a skater, I followed Dorothy Hamill when I wanted to play tennis. It was all about Chris Everett Lloyd. But if I want to know Jesus, I need to go to the expert, and that's Mary. And that's my new piece today over at CatholicMom.com, or you can go to Reconcile to You on Facebook. There's a link right there. Actually, it's at the top of the link, I think, today. Also, if you're looking for more information, I shared this week about the sad news in Taunton, Massachusetts. A mentally disturbed young man went on a stabbing rampage and unfortunately took the life of one of our parishioners, 80-year-old Pat Slavin, wonderful woman, full of joy. She was a daily communicant of Mass. In fact, the last time I saw her was on Tuesday, the day she was killed. I'd gone to daily Mass, and during the sign of the peace, I looked over at her, got her trademark ear-to-ear grin, and she just pointed at me and smiled. And it was like a memory that I'm so happy that I have and I will take with me forever, because Pat was a dear friend, just incredible, faithful woman. And so I wrote about her on my Small Success yesterday, just a little bit about her. I hope to write more about her, because I think that her faith is something that we could all live like and learn from. And one of the most amazing parts was in all of the sound bites about her and her life, I thought, this is the sound bite I want for my life. You know, the one that says she was faithful, she was daily communicant, she loved God, and it was her whole life. Like, this is what I want people saying about me, and I think most of us would want that as well. So again, reconciledtoyou.com for the blog on what's been happening here in my town and in my parish. Last night we had a prayer service. I've never seen so many news trucks in my life. Luckily, I know the back way in. And Mary, Jesus Expert over on CatholicMom.com. Now, very patiently has been waiting my guest today, Leslie Lynch. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me. I just want to say, first of all, my condolences for the loss of Pat, and prayers for her repose.
Thank you very much. We actually, the service last night was beautiful. My pastor, Kevin Cook, is just amazing. He's such a man of God, and he was very close to Pat. In fact, I got to know Pat very well during, we fill in every once in a while for the money counter. It takes five of us to replace one. You know,
right.
How that happens.
Yes. Yeah, I know exactly how that is.
And so we would, before I did the show and during the summer, I was able to go often to count the money with Pat and a few other parishioners. And she's just funny. She had a contagious laugh. And she'd gone to one of my retreats just this summer. So that was nice, too, to spend that extra time with her, get to know a little bit more of her heart. And so I've been praying for her. And what I really loved about what my pastor did was we also prayed for A.J. DeRosa, who had checked himself into the mental health ward of our local hospital. the day before, and they didn't hold him for 72 hours, which they really should have. And because my son went in October, same hospital, for suicidal thoughts, and they held him for 72 hours. My son couldn't get out if he wanted to.
Right.
And so to see this man released, you know, all we can think of is it had to be an insurance issue, and that makes me so sad. You know, this should have and could have been avoided, and that's what's being investigated right now. So I'm so happy that we prayed for AJ, because I'm sure never, and if he'd been in his right mind, this would have never had happened.
Right, right.
Listening to his family talk about how he, you know, how sweet he was and what a good father he was, and just he had asked and begged for help, and to be let down is sad. And we also prayed for George Heath, who was a hero, who stepped in to stop this AJ from stabbing this pregnant waitress, saved her life and the baby's, but sadly lost his. So just lots of pray today about Pat and AJ and George, and I think... thank you, Leslie, for letting me have a little bit of your time this morning to catch everybody up and to, you know, get more prayer warriors. We have to always pray for the living and the dead. Pray for those widows, George's widow, AJ's children, like just how devastating to lose your dad when you are, I think they said they were 2 and 5. So lots of sadness here. So thank you again, Leslie, for allowing me that time and for being so understanding, because I think this is the first time in the history of the show that I've had a guest whose book I have not been able to completely read. And I'm so sad about that, because I was so looking forward to it. And it's on my list. It will still get read. So I apologize for that as well.
Well, that's not a problem. I'm sure that we can talk plenty about it, because what really strikes me here is that the situation that you're talking about, the sadness that happened this week, that's the sort of thing that I write about. So
there are no coincidences in life, Leslie. They are all Godcidences. I was thinking the same thing as I was reviewing the information you sent me about the book, and recalling why I wanted to have it. You know, it's all about forgiveness and mercy. And I thought, Lord, you are so funny. Your timing is truly always perfect. So before we get on to Opal's Jubilee, let's tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, gosh. I'm a grandmother, so that tells you about how old I am. And I have done a number of things in my life. I was a registered nurse for many years. I was and still am a licensed pilot.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
Have you flown lately?
I have not flown lately. I've had a couple of health issues that have just, you know, they're not bad at all. They're just kind of nagging things. And so I just haven't had a chance to get up in the air recently. But today here where I live, which is near Louisville, Kentucky, skies are clear and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous day. And I was sitting here waiting for the 10 o'clock to come around and thinking, gosh, it'd be a gorgeous day to go fly. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. I was just in Louisville, Kentucky last September. I spoke actually in Owensboro, which was very exciting for me because I am a huge NASCAR fan. Uh-huh. And the wall trips are from Owensboro. So that was really fun to be there. Not that I saw any of them, because they don't live there anymore. They're in North Carolina, but I was excited to be there. And in your little airport, which was really fun because I come from Logan Airport in Boston, which is ginormous.
Oh, wow. Yes.
To go to Louisville was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of flying.
Yes. And then in the last 10 years or so, I came back to the one thing that I had thought that I wanted to do back in high school and in college, until someone pointed out that, you know, you can't make a living writing.
No, they're pretty wise words, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Well, this is true, but that sort of stopped me for way, way, way too long. So about 10 years ago, I started writing, and I taught myself how to use a computer, and I wrote my first book, which was Hijacked, which has to do with a little airplane, and which is based on what I had been doing at that time in my life, which was flying traffic reporters around Louisville.
No way.
Right. And I'd get to the airport, and it just one morning dawned on me how totally desolate and isolated the airport is. In the airport that I used is Bowman. It's a small general aviation airport, and it's about 7 or 8 miles from the Louisville International Airport. And I would get there, and there would be nobody around. The tower wasn't open. There was literally nobody on the field, and my imagination got going, and that's how Hijacked came to be.
Oh, that's so neat. So you were, I'm just trying to picture this. So I was pictured traffic reporters in helicopters, but you were on an airplane?
Yes, we had at the time, and we don't do that anymore because they have cameras on all the interstates and everything, so they can just do it by, it's a lot cheaper by doing it that way. But helicopters are a lot more expensive to run. Per hour, they're like hundreds, like close to $1,000 an hour to run.
Wow.
Operate a helicopter. A light airplane, you can operate it for about $30 or $40 or $50 an hour. So, maybe $100 an hour, but it's a lot cheaper to use the fixed wing. And so that's what we did.
That is so fascinating. I'm talking today with Leslie Lynch. She is the author of Opal's Jubilee, where it's a fiction book. But I remember choosing it, even I've admitted, confessed that I did not get to read it. But I remember choosing it after she was on earlier. Was it this year or was it was last year, wasn't it?
It was a mid-December of last year.
Yeah. Because it had all this theme of mercy and forgiveness. And I really, of course, we're in the year of mercy with Pope Francis has deemed this the Jubilee Year of Mercy. So it just seemed the perfect fiction book for us to talk about. And we're going to right after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. We are talking today with Leslie Lynch. She is the author of Opal's Jubilee. It is a fiction book. Before we went to break, she was telling us a little bit about herself. She's a grandma. She used to be a nurse. She is still a licensed pilot. And I think that's so cool. You used to do the traffic reports. What kind of practice, nursing practice, did you do?
Oh, gosh. I was kind of all, well, not really all over the board. I started out with actually psychiatric for a year, and then I went to neonatal nursery and worked the well babies, which is level one, and the sort of sick babies, which is level two. I worked in Children's Hospital in Denver for a number of years, and I worked every unit there. And then I made my way into emergency room and worked ER for a number of years.
Wow, I can't even imagine working with sick babies and or ER. Now, does any of that experience work into your writing?
Gosh, the ER does. The sick babies, not so much.
Oh, good.
Right, right,
just
yeah.
Too sad.
Right, that's kind of a rough time. But yes, the ER does. Emergency room shows up in Unholy Bonds, which is the sequel to Hijacked. Mm-hmm. And it shows up in Christmas Grace and Christmas Hope.
Which was what we talked about when you were here December. It was December 18th. We just looked it up. I looked it up. Okay. So, and I will link that to that podcast to this one, because I think there was so much great stuff that we talked about in that. And then you were, again, that interview was, I was so enthralled by your writing and by you as a person that I'm really glad that you're able to come back again. So I'll definitely link to the first interview. So if anybody's interested in learning more about Leslie and those other books, The Christmas Joy and The Christmas Hope, which I did read those and did enjoy those. I actually think I never finished one of them. I don't know what it is, Leslie. See, the problem is, here's the problem. Here's the true problem. I was just talking to Sarah Reinhart last night, and she was asking me if I'd read such and such a book. I didn't even remember what it was. And there's a fiction book. I'm like, Sarah, no, I don't read fiction. It's not that I don't like fiction. I just have never had
a love for it.
And yeah, I like nonfiction because I'm so egocentric. Here we go. True confessions. I'm so egocentric that nonfiction makes me think about myself and I have to answer questions and it's interactive. And I've never been able to do that with fiction. Now, Sarah sees it completely the opposite way. For her, fiction is more of an introspection and a way of just traveling with literature, with books, than nonfiction. So it's everybody's is obviously different, but
I just watched I'm enrolled in the Spalding University Masters of Fine Arts program in reading and writing.
Cool.
And one of the seniors who is graduating did their lecture, and it's online, and I do not have the link for you that I could share at this point, but it was a wonderful lecture on how fiction changes our brain, or how our brain responds to fiction, and that we are all hardwired for story. And if you look at the Bible, then certainly, I mean, that is just packed with story after story after story.
Jesus figured that out, right?
Right.
Jesus figured that out. Like, we can get you people to understand stuff through story.
Story, right. And one of the really interesting concepts was that this woman brought up in her lecture was that in fiction, your brain responds to fiction as if you were actually experiencing whatever it is you're reading about. And so you can have, it's an opportunity to sort of try on different points of view and different perspectives and different ideas, and that people who read fiction, and this is not saying that people who don't read fiction don't have empathy, but people who read fiction tend to have more empathy for more different sorts of people and situations than otherwise. So I thought that was a really interesting take on fiction.
That is so fascinating. And as personally, I can totally see that. Empathy is one of the things I struggle with. And I do not read certain books and even like magazines or watch certain shows because of my own anxiety and depression issues. I have to avoid stuff. So that makes
me too. I don't read horror. There's no way.
I don't want to experience that. I don't want to be there.
It was sort of funny. I read Stephen King's book on writing that he wrote many years ago, and he said that he writes his nightmares, and I thought, well, that's why I don't read your books, is because I have my own nightmares. I don't need anybody else's.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Some people are able, you know, to read that, and just it's entertainment, or they're just, you know, again, I love that. That teaches them empathy, but for me, I learned a long time ago that I need to avoid that stuff. Which is why I like Catholic fiction, Christian fiction, because I think that there's, it's for me, it's more readable.
Uh-huh.
You know, that the romance, I don't feel uncomfortable reading, that the, even when it's horror, it's not as graphic. It's, you know, the details are there for the story, but not just for the gory sake.
Right. Exactly.
Makes sense to me. That's very fascinating. I actually made a note there. I'm going to see if I can find that link and link it to our show notes, I'm way behind, and I apologize to anyone looking for them and be like, you know, girl, you said you're going to, someday I'm going to catch up. That's my plan. I keep praying that the Lord sends me an assistant, but it's not happening yet because still people want to be paid.
Yeah, doggone. Isn't that strange?
I know. Can you imagine? People just don't like me enough to want to do it out of the goodness of their heart.
Well, I can send you the link to that when I get off the phone call. So I will go ahead and send that to you afterwards. But okay. I was just going to say that Opal's Jubilee is was inspired by a very difficult and controversial situation, which I hope that I have treated it in my writing with a lot of respect and dignity, but it deals with domestic abuse, and it also deals with women who were convicted of murder or attempted murder after years of experiencing domestic abuse. And, you know, so the subjects aren't easy, and none of them in my books are easy subjects. I can't write light or easy to save my soul. But I hope I do write with entertainment and, well, I guess just the respect and the dignity. But back in 2007, the governor of Kentucky, Ernie Fletcher, granted pardons or parole to a number of women, 21 women. I'm sorry. Controversial move, granted clemency pardons or early parole reviews to 21 women who had been convicted of murder or attempted murder after experiencing years of domestic abuse. And that was, boy, was that in the news, because there was quite a controversy. There was, you know, the women's advocates were saying, yes, we need this. And a lot of people were saying, well, if you murder somebody or you try to murder somebody, you should be in prison. And I had the opportunity at that point to see a quilt that these women had put together. And each one had one square, probably like a 12 or 14 inch square, and they could do whatever they wanted with that square. And oh my goodness, it was the most heart-wrenching quilt to look at, because they drew, you know, pictures of what they had experienced. And so it was where the seed was planted. So that was back in 2007. And when did I write this book? 12 or 13. So 4 or 5 years later, I wrote this book. 5, 6 years later, maybe. And I don't know that I really had that all figured out when I started writing the book. I just knew that when I started writing the book, I didn't know what I was going to write about. I woke up one morning and I had the picture of Opal McBride walking down Bardstown Road in Louisville, Kentucky, fresh out of prison. She has long red hair and she's trying to get a job and she can't because she's a felon. Wow. And that was where the story started, and that's where I started writing, and I had no idea where it was going until later on as I was writing it. So,
and we're gonna, when we come back from this, I mean, when my brain and my mouth decide to work together, which is hopefully gonna happen during this break time, we're gonna continue our discussion with today's guest, Leslie Lynch. We're talking about her fiction book, Opal's Jubilee, and we're gonna be talking about how this book, the theme from this book, the Jubilee, she was talking about the Jewish year of Jubilee, but we are going to tie it into and look at how it reflects this year's year of mercy, from a Jubilee year of mercy from Pope Francis. You know, my ministry, Reconciled to You, has a lot to do with forgiveness. I have to say, I haven't yet ran into anybody who has had to forgive somebody for killing them, but you know, as we experienced it this week and in my parish, one of the things that they said was Pat would have forgiven her murderer. So we're going to talk a lot more about this topic and mercy when we come back from these messages, and hopefully I'll find my brain. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today with author Leslie Lynch. She is the author of many books. Today we're talking about Opal's Jubilee. And Leslie, you have a special for our Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras listeners. Well, tell us about that sale.
I do. The electronic version or ebook version of Opal's Jubilee is on sale today, tomorrow, and Sunday for 99 cents. Normally it's $3.99, and I just wanted to make that available to your listeners at this special price. And it's available through Amazon for Kindles. But you can read it on any device with Kindle's free app that you can use on any other device. So,
very cool. So I'll have that link, and I'll make sure that gets out today, even if the show notes don't make it. Since it's a 3-day sale, making a big pink note here. Do not forget to share the link to Leslie's book on all of my Facebook outlets, both my personal page, A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, and Reconciled to You on Facebook. So we'll make sure nobody misses the opportunity to get Opal's Jubilee for 99 cents. Now, this is part of a series, is that correct? But you don't need to read it in that order, right? So tell us a little bit about that.
Right. All five of these books are in a series. The first two are very closely linked, Hijacked and Unholy Bonds, basically because when I finished Hijacked, I thought, okay, what am I going to write next? And about 2 weeks after, I was panicking, thinking that I didn't have any more books in me, and I wasn't going to write anything. I woke up one morning and I thought, that story's not finished. So I wrote Unholy Bonds, and
that has a forgiveness theme as well, correct?
It does, very much. I could read the blurb for you if
sure.
you want.
You have it nearby. We'd love to hear.
I do. So Unholy Bonds is pilot Lannis Parker has triumphed over her past, or so she thinks. She faces her rapist, then dredges up the courage to bring him to trial and is relieved to see Robert Davis imprisoned. But the closure she sought is elusive. Resurrected memories invade her life and threaten to splinter her relationship with those she loves most, including Ben, her new husband. Lannis discovers she's as much a prisoner as Davis, shackled by fear and inextricably bound to him through his crime. Frustrated at her descent into the past, Ben tries to understand but fails. Cracks appear in their fledgling marriage, and Lannis becomes desperate to repair the underlying cause. She gradually realizes that healing will come only when she acknowledges Davis's humanity. Not a popular notion, but one she increasingly understands as essential. In a bold move, Lannis meets with Davis in prison and challenges him to recognize her humanity.
Wow. That's powerful.
Right. So that's Unholy Bonds. Now, Opal's Jubilee is not tied as closely as Hijacked and Unholy Bonds are. Those are basically the same story, only longer.
Mm-hmm.
Opal's Jubilee takes place in the same city, mm-hmm. in Louisville, and Lannis Parker makes a cameo appearance along with one of the characters who shows up in both Hijacked and Unholy Bonds. So they make a cameo appearance in there, but other than that, it's not really linked that closely. Mm-hmm. So Opal's Jubilee, all of these are written so that they can be read standalone, mm-hmm. or they can be read in order. It doesn't matter.
Oh, so. I like that. I think that I know that sometimes I'll read an author and I just want more from them. And you know, maybe I haven't read them in order. I've just somehow come across one, like someone might hear today about Opal's Jubilee and be like, yeah, right. I need to read that. But it's great to know that there's more from you and that you'll see some of that interaction of characters. I know that one of the reasons I don't read fiction is because I fall in love with these people. And I get sad when they leave my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I don't.
No, but that's the fun thing about fiction, though, is you can pick the book back up and read it again and fall in love with them all over again. So
that's true. Like, you can be just wrecked for days after the end of at the end of the book where you're like, what? No, it can't be over. Yeah. Can't be done.
So why don't I go ahead and read the blurb from Opal's Jubilee so that we know what Opal is about.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit, but this is the blurb from it.
Sure.
Fresh out of prison after 12 years. Whoops, what was that? I made a big noise. I don't know what that was.
I didn't hear it at all.
Okay.
So you're good.
Okay.
Just keep going. You're good.
All right. Fresh out of prison after 12 years, Opal McBride must find a job in order to meet parole requirements. Failure means she'll serve out the remainder of her sentence behind bars. The system has seen fit to drop her in Louisville, Kentucky, a far cry from her hometown of Jubilee in the Appalachian Hollows. Scrambling to adapt, Opal finds more than a potential job in May Boone's quilt shop. She finds acceptance and perhaps even friendship. That is, until May's son recognizes her. A detective, Josh Boone, is not about to let a felon work for his soft-hearted mother.
Mm.
Though Opal's crime was against a sheriff's deputy, his innate sense of decency prods him to break ranks and defend her from the disdain of his fellow officers. Then he finds she may have light to shed on a cold case and discovers there is more to Opal's story than it seems. Josh risks his professional reputation and his heart as he digs into Opal's past. When secrets are exposed, will justice prevail? Will Opal and Josh find redemption and maybe even love where they least expect it?
So we got some romance happening here. We've got some mystery happening here. This is exciting. See, I knew there was a reason I wanted to talk about this book.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, the whole idea of, I believe that I had the idea of the Jewish Year of Jubilee when I named the book Opal's Jubilee, but that was based on the part in Leviticus, Leviticus 25, verses 8 through 13, where it talks about every 7 years, there's forgiveness of debt and so forth. But then on the 50th year, that is a holy year of Jubilee, and slaves are freed and people return to their home and to their families, and there's supposed to be lots of reconciliation at that point every 50 years. And from what I understand, because I don't know a whole lot about Jewish religion, but what I understand is that is no longer, the 50-year Jubilee is no longer practiced. But that whole idea is so, it foreshadows Jesus and redemption and the whole idea of Christianity, mm-hmm. which all of the Old Testament does foreshadow, and then all of the New Testament is the fulfillment of that. So that's why I wanted to name it Opal's Jubilee.
That is fascinating. I did not know that about the Jewish faith, and I think that's incredible that you have that built into a culture, into a faith, that forgiveness is so crucial, really, to being free yourself.
Right.
And, you know, this Jubilee Year of Mercy from Pope Francis has all been about being free of our bonds of sin, of our own guilt and shame, but also this really important part of forgiving others and looking at the heart of other people and not just at their crime or at how they've hurt you, but really at the core of who they are and how God sees them.
Right. Right.
So you pulled together this story about mercy, and then we have the Year of Mercy. How do you see this connection yourself with Pope Francis's Year of Mercy and Opal's Jubilee?
Well, I see it because the Opal's Jubilee is a story about a lot of mercy and redemption and reconciliation. Josh is Catholic in the book, and he has his priest is Father Barnabas, who he's a great. I just loved Father Barnabas. He's Irish, and he's small and slightly built, and big twinkle in his eye, and he's got a big heart. And he introduces himself as Father Barney, mm-hmm. but then he says, "And if you know me well, you call me Father Blarney." And
that's cute.
So, but
and for somebody who doesn't know if they're not Irish or understand Irish descent, what does the Blarney refer to?
It refers to the Blarney Stone, and I believe that what that means is that if you kiss the Blarney Stone, you cannot tell a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that that's what that's all about.
Okay.
So, but Josh learns a lot about prejudging or notions and whatnot, or and his own failings as a man, even though he feels that he's a good and ethical man, which he is, but we all have failings. And so Josh learns to have mercy for his own self.
All right, when we come back from this, we're going to look more at these characters in a bay. Opal's Jubilee with author Leslie Lynch. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. We will be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart. Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Hey, before we continue with Leslie, I just want to tell you something really exciting that happened this week. Okay, and I know after I say it, you're all going to roll your eyes and said, you talked about this 4 times already and it's never happened. But this is different. I am planning a pilgrimage to Poland, October 9th through the 20th, 2017. I know it's a year over a year away, but this is to give you plenty of time to start saving your pennies. And I know this is my 4th attempt at a pilgrimage, but this time I've gone with a different company. Not that the other company wasn't good. I just needed somebody to support me more on the marketing. And so we're going to go with Catholic Faith Journeys. And I'm so excited to be working with Maggie and Teresa. They're just incredible. The thing about going with a smaller company is they can give you a lot of personal help. So they're going to be helping me market it. We're doing it way earlier than the others. So I'm kind of optimistic that this Faith, Hope, and Love tour of Poland, we're going to go to Auschwitz, we're going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to talk about Maximilian Kolbe, John Paul II, of course, who's all about love. And then we're also going to be with my fan, my home girl, my fangirl here on Faustina. Be talking a lot more about that, sharing some of my funny stories and heart-wrenching stories, really, with these three saints in my own personal life. Hope that you'll share yours as well. And consider joining me and my rock star pastor, Father Kevin Cook. I'm teasing him this week because he's been on every news outlet, just really doing such an amazing job of talking about our good friend Pat Sleven, who was murdered this week in her home, just really sharing her faith and how faith can really get you through these very tragic, unexplainable circumstances. And one of the things he's been talking about, and I'm so happy that he said, was that Pat, with her faith, as strong as it was, would have, and we believe did, forgive her assailant, who sadly was a mentally disturbed young man named AJ DeRosa. I want you to pray for him as well. Went for help, wasn't given it. Unfortunately, was let down by the system, and then these horrible tragedies, three people are now dead because of that. So, and it does really tie into our story today that we're talking about, Opal's Jubilee, you know, and to look at the heart of what causes a person to snap and to do something that is truly beyond who they are in their heart and the things that they wouldn't normally do. And I know that we talked about Opal being in prison because of her actions based on being abused. And, you know, people can, she gets out and all they're doing is they're judging her as a felon. Like, she was in jail. She deserved to be there. No circumstances. And I love, Leslie, that you bring in that there's more to every story and that it's our job as a Christian to look beyond what we see, even people's actions, and to look at their heart and to remember they are a child of Christ.
I think that's one of the things that I've learned more about going on retreats and listening to people share their stories, is that everyone that you look at, you think you know what they're all about, but you really, really don't. And everyone is carrying a burden that you have no clue what it is. So that's part of what drives me to write the stories that I do also. And in this case, Opal has all sorts of secrets that I'm not going to give away
the storyline
here. But nothing is quite as it seems. Mm. And that's where Opal is.
And that's really a good lesson for all of us, you know, to look at people. You know, I'm writing a piece on what steals your joy. And I'm thinking one of the number one things that steal our joy is our comparison to others. We compare our insides to people's outsides.
Huh, that's a really good way of putting it.
I'm sure I stole it from somebody. I'm pretty sure it's not my own thought. And if it is, it's from the Holy Spirit. But is that not true? Like, we compare, we're so fixed on people's outsides. We judge their outsides and we compare our insides to their outsides. Like, we see all our faults and failings, all our troubles and tribulations. And then we look at everybody else as these perfect, as Lisa Hendy puts in her book, The Grace of Yes, the perfect avatar. You know, now that we have social media, people are always putting up their profile pictures, and it's the technical term for that is an avatar. And don't we take the perfect picture of ourselves and discard all of the other things that the flawed pictures?
Yes.
We want. It's so true. It's like our human nature, right? This is how we see ourselves. We see ourselves as flawed, and we see everybody else as perfect, unless they are being accused of some crime, and then we're like, oh yeah, they're horrible people.
Right, right. And that's how, I think that's part of what I really love about the Catholic faith, is that it's not either or, it's both and. You know, because we can both be children of God, and we can be flawed and human, which we all are. No matter how good we look on the surface, we all of us have all those insecurities and you know, the things that trouble us on the inside. So
You know, this week, I think it was this week in Mass, one of the readings was the splinter in your eye with the...
Yes, and the log in the other person's... Yeah. The splinter in the other person's eye and the log in your own, yes.
Oh, yes, that's how it goes. You can see where my brain is at, Leslie. I'm always seeing everybody else's logs, not mine. Yeah. Not mine. I have just little splinters. I'm so perfect.
Right.
Not so much am I perfect. No. But it's so easy for us to judge people's outsides, for us to look at the circumstances at the, and one of the things that, again, I think this is amazing that it's juxtapositioning the real world right now in my life, is listening to AJ's family on the news, and they were so angry, and rightfully so. They're like, you have absolutely painted a picture of him that is not complete. You're looking at the person who has snapped, and we don't even know why, but you're not looking at the person he was before this mental illness took over him, or whatever circumstances, because he was at a soccer field, he got a phone call, and he just started to cry and tell the people around him, God will never forgive me. God will never forgive me. We have no idea what it was that he thought he had done that was so unforgivable by God. And that's what this year of mercy is all about, that nothing is beyond God's forgiveness.
Right, right.
Now, the Pope says that God forgives all. There is nothing you can do that can be not be forgiven. And I'm excited. I really am going to read Opal's Jubilee because I'm really hoping, and I kind of feel like this is where we're going to go with it, I hope, that we do get to the heart of who she really is and the judgments that are made. We can see how easy we can go the wrong way with how we perceive things.
Right, right. And that was the point with writing Opal's Jubilee, was that nothing is exactly as it seems, and I don't know. She's just one of my favorite characters that I've ever written. She's
why because, so? What was
why
it
so?
About?
Because she's she doesn't see herself as a victim at all.
Mm-hmm.
She's very pragmatic about some things. She went to prison for murdering her husband, and yet, she doesn't make excuses for that. But, so she's not always trying to say, well, but there's all these extenuating circumstances. She just accepts it for what it is and then tries to go on.
And why did you feel it was important to make her, this character is your, your creation. Why did you think it was so important to create Opal in this vein, in this way?
That's a good question.
I guess it goes a little bit into character development. Many authors I talk to say they don't really feel like they have control over the story. It writes itself.
Well, and that's part of that. That is definitely part of that. I mean, Opal would not have been... Opal would not have been Opal if she thought of herself as a victim. She really, there were terrible, awful things that happened to her. One of the things that started everything for her, started the ball going down the bad slope, was that her grandmother, who she lived with, getting towards the end of her life, and she quit school to take care of her grandma. And then the authorities found out, put her grandma in a nursing home, and then they were going to put her in a foster home. And so she ran off at 16 and got married instead. Mm. So there was a whole host of things that she's done. She's a survivor, and she copes, and she does everything that she can to make her life better. And she continues that through the whole story. So,
and if people want to know more about Opal, this character of Opal's Jubilee, this wonderful book by Leslie Lynch, I can say wonderful book because I've talked to you enough about it today to get enough information that yes, that's moving up on, I'm going to actually read a fiction book. So Leslie, we're at the end. I know, Sarah will be so proud of me. We're at the end of our time together. Where can we follow your writing and get more information, including the 99-cent sale?
Okay, that is on Amazon. So you can get Opal's Jubilee on Amazon. just type in my name, Leslie Lynch, L-E-S-L-I-E-L-Y-N-C-H, and my books will come up. You can also go to my website, which is www.leslielynch.com, and click on any of the books there. There's excerpts on the website. More, I think, than what you'd get on Amazon, I'm not sure. And some of my books are also available as audiobooks. Hijacked, Christmas Hope, and Christmas Grace are all three available as audiobooks. So for those of you who love audio, try those out. My audio narrator is a name by a gal by the name of Carol Dines, and she's awesome.
Wonderful. Thank you, Leslie Lynch, again for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much, Allison, for having me.
To learn more, go to leslielynch.com. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.